Second Sunday of Advent. This is the Sunday where we acknowledge peace. But I wanted to quickly just touch on last Sunday's and last week. The theme was hope, and I just wanted to give a quick kind of rundown on what hope is. A lot of us confuse hope and like wishing. Like I hear people say, like, I hope this happens, or I hope that, or hope is not the same as wishing. When you have hope in something, it's looking forward to something coming to pass that you believe will happen, which is why we have hope in our Savior. We believe in what He's promised us in eternal life through our relationship with Him. We also believe that one day He will return to this world to finish what He started. And so that's the hope that we celebrate in the Advent season. It's believing in something that we, in our heart of hearts, know will come to pass. And so, you know, like when you tell someone you have hope in them, that means that you believe that they are going to achieve what they have the potential to do. And so, you know, like if you have a troubled kid in your neighborhood, man, I wish that kid would get his act together. That's not the same as having hope in that kid. So I just wanted to give you kind of a quick definition of the kind of hope that we should have in our lives as we look forward to celebrating the Christmas season, celebrating the birth of our Savior and His return. So we move to peace. If you want to turn and follow along in Psalm 122, if you don't want to turn there, I'm going to read it to you anyway, so it's up to you. I'm actually going to start with the scripture this time because I believe it sets the stage for us as we talk about this theme of peace in the Advent season. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones for the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Peace be within you. Growing up, my family didn't go to church a lot, but when we did, we went to the Catholic church in town. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about the services was at some point in the service, we would have this thing that was called the passing of the peace. And if you've ever been to a liturgical church, you've probably experienced this thing where you stand up and you greet each other, but the words are, peace be with you, and then the person will respond, and also with you. And I love this because I was about Elena's age, and I started to make this really great game out of it. How many people can I say peace be with you to before the priest gets back up and ends this time together? So I was running around like a madman, you know, giving people peace. And this idea of peace, I think in some ways, we see peace like I did as that little kid. You know, we're a week and a half off of Thanksgiving. Some of you probably still are digesting some of the food that you ate during the week of Thanksgiving. And so right now, peace is not this hard-to-grasp concept. Peace is pretty much a reality in our life. We got full bellies. We live in warm homes. We got roofs over our heads. We have peace. There's not a lot of turmoil in our lives when it comes to outside influence. But I want you to put yourself in other people's shoes, other parts of the world. Think about Ferguson, Missouri right now. You think that there's a lot of peace going on in that community right now? Think about the Middle East. You think there's a lot of peace happening around the turmoil that's going on there? Think about our government. Can you imagine being a politician right now? Even if you had the country's best interest in mind, the mountain of nonsense that you have to climb just to be heard. Our houses are clean, our families are fed, and yet around us there is the absence of peace all over the world. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it's generally just translated like that, peace. And so we tend to define peace in our own terms. To us, peace is just the absence of conflict. It's just smooth sailing, feeling good, not a lot going on around. But the word shalom actually has a lot more depth to it than that. It's a very deep and it's a very wide word. And so I want to just give you a brief overview of what this word shalom means. And this is the word, when we celebrate the peace of the Advent season, we're celebrating shalom. Shalom demands that we be real with ourselves and with each other. It requires true listening and compassionate speaking. It won't settle for anyone to be left out or left behind. It's not only the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of healing and of growth. The prophet Isaiah says that he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. We yearn for this vision to become real. This is the shalom of the Advent season. This is what we expect. These four themes of Advent, the hope, the peace, the joy, the love, the reason that these are themes in the Advent season is because these are all things that we look forward to coming to fruition. We look for the completion of these things. We participate in them now because Christ came once to live and to die. But he will come again to complete these things, to redeem them once and for all. During Advent, we have an opportunity to do more than celebrate Christmas, to do more than talk about the reason for the season or keeping Christ in Christmas. We have a chance, an opportunity to truly impact the world for the kingdom of Jesus. Advent is a time of waiting, a time for us to acknowledge the current state of affairs, to get real about the conflict, the absence of peace that's taking place in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our state, in our country, in the world around us, as well as in our homes, in our families, and inside of ourselves. While we wait with hope and expectation, we can look for the light that shines in unexpected places, in the dark corners of the world. We can prepare for the coming of God, who brings peace. We can say no to a culture of instant gratification, to the temptation to skip the hard parts of the season that lead to true shalom. A lot of times we just smooth right past that. We blow right by it. We don't want to deal with the hard stuff. Remember, shalom is not just the absence of conflict. It's healing. It's restoration. It's redemption. But a lot of times we blow right past that because it's hard to deal with. And we get to the fun stuff that just gives us that calm surface. But underneath, we've got the waters are churning. There's a reason that the Christmas season is one that the most people suffer from depression. That the most suicides take place. It's because underneath that calm surface, everybody is struggling with conflict. The absence of peace is a very real thing. The body of Christ is where we recognize the grief and the darkness of the world, even as we proclaim God's peace, joy, and love are coming and are already here. It's not enough for us to just talk about this stuff. We have to come to terms with the reality that there are parts of the world where these things are lacking, where they're non-existent. And instead of asking, well, who's going to fix that? Realizing that that's our job. That's our call. As the church, as the body of Christ, we're his mouth, we're his hands, we're his feet. We're called to be the peace that is missing in this world. We talk about Advent as being a season of waiting. And I think sometimes that gives us the impression that we can be passive. We can sit on our hands and just wait for somebody or something to show up and make the world a better place. But Advent is more than just passive waiting. It's active waiting. It's doing something while we await the return of Jesus. That's the kind of expectant hope, expectant joy, expectant peace, expectant love. It means that we're doing our best to bring these things to fruition in the world until Christ comes back and finishes the work once and for all. It's kind of like when Jenilee and I decide to go out, like this afternoon we're going to go out, and when we get home, the kids have just waited to do anything until we got there. That's frustrating. You know, like the dishes are still in the sink and the beds aren't made and, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, what are you waiting for? And I felt like in some ways, that's God to us. What are you waiting for? I get that you're not going to be able to clean up the whole house, but you can do a little work. You can actively wait for me to return. We all have a role. We all have a responsibility. We're gifted for ministry. So I would encourage you to actively wait and not passively wait. In today's scripture from Psalm 122, David rejoices at the simplicity of giving up or going up to the house of the Lord. He's not even there yet. He's just rejoicing in the idea of being on the journey to the house of the Lord. I wonder, as you got in your cars this morning to drive here, if you were rejoicing in the journey of coming to the house of the Lord. Was there peace in your heart as you came here? I would suspect that some of you probably had an absence of peace. And yet, this really isn't the house of the Lord anymore, is it? Because the new covenant gives the Lord a new dwelling place, and that's inside of you and I. And so where David rejoiced at going to the house of the Lord, we can rejoice in being the house of the Lord. Christ dwells among us and within us. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet and hearts and voices through which God works. David was transformed as one among the crowd into a proclaimer of peace. And when you and I participate in our relationship with Jesus, when we pray, when we worship, when we fellowship, when we are transformed by His presence in our lives, we too are called for, as one out of the crowd, to be a proclaimer of peace to the world around us. And as I studied peace this week, and as I thought about peace and prayed about peace, a question continued to burn inside of me. In the wake of things like Ferguson, or the wars in the Middle East, or the turmoil in our government, or even the problems that we face in our own homes, how do we become peace? It seems like an insurmountable task. It's overwhelming. And I don't have an answer for you. Not specifically, anyway. My guess is that each one of us, through our own prayer, through our own discernment, will discover ways to be peace in different ways. But I think a good start is to not engage in the violence. To not engage in the mudslinging or the name-calling or the finger-pointing or the anti-peace that is present in these situations. It's so tempting to jump on board and point fingers. But I think about Martin Luther King Jr., who was a forerunner in peaceful protest. He spoke out against the things that he believed were injustice without violence, without mudslinging, without lowering himself to their level. He remained a man of integrity, a man of faith, and a man of great morals. And I'm convinced that this is what we're called to be as the church. To put our foot down against injustice, to speak peace into times of conflict, in times of turmoil, but to do it in such a way where we don't lower ourselves to resort to the same things that are taking place. But that we remain with our faith and our morals and our integrity intact. It's easy to refrain from physical violence. None of us wants to get in a fist fight or shoot a gun. But it's so much more tempting to get involved in the words, the name-calling, the mudslinging. And I'll be the first to admit that I don't agree with a lot of the things that are happening in our country and in our world, but it breaks my heart when I see people getting on Facebook and things and just bad-mouthing. I'm just not convinced that's the way that God would have us handle those situations. I'm not convinced that that is actively waiting for Jesus to return. Another way to be peace is to recognize where there is brokenness in the world. To look for it. Where is it that people are struggling to find peace as you interact with those around you? To work with God and for God to reconcile and heal in those areas of brokenness. I heard on a radio station a few weeks ago as we were moving into the Christmas season, and they were kind of in that weird place between should or shouldn't we play Christmas music. And one of the announcers says, "What is it that you hope for this Christmas?" And people would call in and say, like, you know, well, I hope that my family gets to come visit me. And, you know, the things that are normal, hopes and dreams. And then one person got on and he says, "My hope is that those with bless those without. That those with bless those without." And I'm sure he was talking about monetarily and financially, but I thought, what about those of us with faith? Those of us that have these four elements of Advent in our lives. Those of us that have hope. That have a peace that surpasses understanding. That understand and look forward to the joy that comes through relationship with Christ. And who know that they are unconditionally loved by our Creator. There are those without those things. So how do we as the body of Christ, how do you as a Christian who is with, bless someone who is without? In many ways our world lives in Advent. We live in a time of waiting. We're always waiting for something. Because we live in a broken world, we're always waiting for the world to get better. As we move towards elections, we're always hopeful that the next president will make things better. As the war wages, we look forward to things being better once it's over. As we move from an old job to a new job, we look for things to get better. And even in the seasons, as we get tired of one season, we look forward to the next. We're always in expectant waiting. But I'm convinced that in the reality of Advent, in our waiting for the return of Jesus, that we have more of a role than just waiting. That we have to bless those without. I want to tell you a story as I close. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce a masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another. While the viewers clapped and cheered, the tension grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. As the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. The man uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters, as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird had built a nest on the elbow of that branch. content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings. She rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly understanding. Together we make up this thing called the church. This thing called the body of Christ. We are empowered to be peace. Gifted and equipped and called to be peace. For a world that cannot yet understand it. With violence and turmoil at every turn, we're called to introduce the peace that surpasses all understanding. If we're honest, there's no reason in this world to grasp the reality that is peace. And yet, we still experience it. It's not the absence of conflict. It's the reality that in the conflict, there is restoration, there is healing, there is protection, there is hope. My final word comes from Jesus in John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will find trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for that last truth, that you have overcome this world. That no matter what we face, no matter how hard or dark the times may seem, you've already won. And that we have a reason to have hope and peace and joy and love in our lives. And we look so forward to the day where you come and complete those works once and for all. But until then, Lord, I pray that we would actively participate in these elements of Advent. That we wouldn't just wait for them to happen, but that we would bring them forth into the lives of those around us. That we would do our best to share the reality of who you are, to be your hands and feet, to be your voice, to truly embody what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So that we wouldn't deter anyone from coming to know you, but that we would be attractive, that we would draw them in to a relationship with you. Equip us for that. Bless us for the work. And help us to realize that that is the call in this Christmas season. It's in your name we pray. Amen.